Well, hello. We have some opening music today here on From the Press Box. Thanks so much for joining us on Tuesday, March 6, 2018, for another great episode of From the Press Box here on the AHL Report. I am Amy Johnson, your host and lead correspondent covering the Laval Rocket on the AHL Report. And of course, I'm joined every week by my fabulous co-host, Mr. Rick Stevens, the editor-in-chief and founder of Rocket Sports Media.
I'm thrilled to be here. And what does it mean when we have opening music?
What does it mean?
Yeah. Why do we have opening music today? I love it that we have opening music, but why do we have it on a day like today?
Well, we're going to have a very special, fun top five for our listeners coming up later on in the show. Yeah, it's going to be a little music related, so got to get you in the mood a little early. We're going to break down Rick and my we're going to debate our top five arena songs for hockey. And Turn Down for What by DJ Snake and Lil Jon, of course, in recent years. Not just hockey, of course, a very popular arena song. So get things started on the right note there with that. And we've got a really full show yet again today, Rick. We're going to, of course, review the Rockets weekend. Last weekend they had a 3-3, and they played at home on Friday night against Bridgeport. Then they went out on the road Saturday and Sunday in Syracuse and Rochester. So we're going to talk about all three of those games. We're going to listen to some exclusive interview audio from a number of players and of course, Coach Sylvain Lefebvre. And of course, then give you as well some roster updates because things keep changing as far as the roster goes with Laval, and give you a brief injury update as well. Before we head then into AHL news, where we're going to talk about player of the week, the players of the month for February, some suspensions that have come out. I believe Rick has an adventure for us on Where Are They Now? And of course, we'll wrap up today's show with that very fun top five that we kind of teased there at the beginning. And so you don't want to miss that. And we'll be interested to hear what your favorite songs are, your top five. So yeah, it's going to be a fun show.
Absolutely.
So I guess we should kick things off with the Rocket Report. As I said, it was a 3-3 last weekend, and it ended up being, you know, 3-3 is never easy to play. Three games in 3 days is tough for any team, but at the AHL level, they do it pretty often. Last year, I remember the Ice Caps had 6 3-3s over the course of the season, which was a lot. This was only their second one so far this season. What made this one a little more challenging was, first of all, the 3-3 was not all on the road or all at home. It was a mixture of the two. They were at home on Friday and then needed to leave and go out on the road for two games. So that kind of made it just a little more challenging. And to add on top of that mix, Mother Nature decided to wreak havoc across upstate New York. And so due to weather conditions, instead of leaving for Syracuse Friday night after the game was finished in Laval and heading to Syracuse that night, the team ended up traveling early on Saturday morning, which meant they traveled on game day, which they normally don't do, which then forced them to then adjust their travel plans and travel to Rochester then again on Sunday. So they had a 3-3 split between home and the road and some very unique traveling conditions and kind of not exactly how they would normally set up their game day routines. It was a little different. So lots of challenges. But in general, Rick, I think they played pretty well. Their game against Bridgeport at home on Friday night was decent. They were in it for the entire game. Unfortunately, didn't come out with a win in that one, but they were certainly in it for the entire game. Came out with a really nice comeback overtime win in Syracuse, which is always a hard building to play in. So that was a really resounding effort by the team. And then, unfortunately, the tail end of that trip in Rochester against a tough Rochester team, it came up short there as well. But there were some good things throughout the weekend that we saw, I think.
Yeah, I thought so. You talked about contributing factors to make it a challenging trip. The other component of that is just the patchwork lineup that they had. Injuries, on the Canadian side, injuries, the Rocket had their own injuries to deal with. Some players coming in, new players coming into the lineup as a result of the trade deadline. So it was, as I said, kind of a patchwork players in different positions, different lines, getting used to new line mates and defensive pairings. So that, I think, was also the added wrinkle. And as you said, the Syracuse game was, it was a decent first period. I think it was a disappointing effort in the second period. They were outshot 14-4 in the second. At the end of the second, the score was 4-2. But they ramped up their effort in the third, scored twice to tie it, and then won it in overtime with Jeremy Gregoire from Willie Coren and Kirby Reichel, Kirby Reichel had a Willie Coren had a very good weekend. Kirby Reichel had a very good weekend. Some of the new additions panned out pretty well. And on the other hand, a couple of the guys up from Brampton, Tyson Wilson and Jackson Leaf, not so good. So all in all, I think it was a pretty good trip for them, and 3-3 kind of 2 points out of it, but not so bad.
Absolutely. One of the keys to that comeback in Syracuse on Saturday was a goal scored by Antoine Wakeid just 15 seconds or so into the third period, and it just really woke the bench up and really got things started to mount that comeback. And this is what we spoke with Antoine after the game, and this is what he said about scoring that goal.
It's funny because that was actually the play that we designed. So just it was fun to execute it. I was shooting far bad, got a little bit lucky with the deflect by the D, but it was good face off and good execution the beginning the third.
So it was pretty fun to hear they drew up that play and to execute it right off of opening face off in the third period was certainly rewarding for them, and he seemed pretty excited about that goal.
Yeah, he was. He had good jump in that game, and he was on our interview list even before he scored that very important goal. And as you said, it kind of turned the game at that moment and got them back into it. And as a result, they had a very good third period.
Absolutely. When we spoke to Sylvain Lefebvre after the game, here's what he had to say about his team really showing resilience, especially after a period or two where they weren't playing their best hockey and coming back and getting that overtime win.
Well, I mean, between the second and third, I think we had a little chat, and, I didn't like the way they were playing, especially in the second period. I thought that, we didn't get engaged enough, and you know what? I mean, sometimes you have to respond, and they did right off the bat in the third, with the power play goal with Antoine Wakeid coming down the wing, so it's kind of a throwback kind of goal, down the wing with not the slapper, but at least a good shot on net and maybe surprise the goalie there. But I like the resiliency in the third period, and obviously coming back from behind, and then big goal by Gregoire in the third, in overtime.
So Coach Lefebvre seemed very, very pleased, and whatever that chat was that they had in the room between the second and third periods obviously worked to their advantage.
He made it sound rather friendly, but I don't think it was.
I don't think it was either. I don't think it was either. Then they went on then to Rochester, as we mentioned. They went on to Rochester the next night. Actually, the next afternoon, it was a matinee game at 3:00, and it was obvious that the guys were tired, legs looked tired, play was sluggish, and Sylvain Lefebvre, as they always say, there's no excuses in hockey, but Coach Lefebvre did mention that after the game that he felt that the guys were probably pretty tired.
you know, I think it was a tough weekend for us, not only with the travel, but Friday night's game. We played two periods with 10 forwards. Yesterday went into overtime. You know, I thought that we not only sluggish, but a little bit slow reacting in the first period. We dug deep trying to find some energy. I thought we ran out of gas at the end. Rochester, played really well in the third period, especially the first 10 minutes. I mean, we couldn't get much going and didn't get a shot off, until I think probably the 8-minute mark in the third. Gave a little push towards the end, but, it was just too late. Yeah.
And he's right that the third period was really unfortunate, that it took probably at least 12 minutes before they could get out of their zone long enough to get a shot on goal. And it was just, I was exhausted watching them try to find some energy in the third period, and it just didn't go their way.
Well, it's funny because they stayed with it. Their legs are heavy, but they were working hard the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that they were tired and, giving up. They were working really hard. They just didn't have the energy. And you saw that in, that Rochester was taking advantage of kind of the quick strike, big play offense. There was three breakaways and one two-on-one on Michael McNiven, who I thought had an outstanding game. He was very good. And the save where he just spread out on the two-on-one star-like was spectacular. He made the first two saves on the breakaways, and it was only that third breakaway in the third period by Justin Danforth, that speedster, he's a real speedster, that beat him and was the game winner. But otherwise, they were in the game, even as tired as they were.
They were, absolutely. And speaking of Michael McNiven, we spoke with him after the game as well, and he was, disappointed to not get the win for sure, but certainly there was no placing blame anywhere. They, I believe, also know that they were working as hard as they could. And so when asking him about, how do you approach the rest of this season and go home and get ready for a 3-game homestand this week and things like that. This is what Michael McNiven had to say to us.
Well, that's exactly it. It's just, we're trying to focus on getting wins here. And, one thing Sly really, says a better game is we can't get out competed. So, I feel like the team's played very strong in front of me, and I've never seen them quit on me, and I try and do the same for them. So, we got a lot of games this month. We just got to use our rest to our advantage, and like I said, just live the everyday lifestyle of a hockey player, eat properly, and get ready properly every single day. So whether it's practice or a game.
I thought for a young goaltender in his rookie season, I've noticed how poised McNiven can be in front of the press and in his interviews with us. This was another example of that, and I was very impressed by the fact that he specifically, time and again, will say, "This team plays very well in front of me." And I don't ever see them quit on me, and I don't ever want to quit on them. I think that's a very mature thing for a goaltender of his age to say.
Well, and even in the course of the season, there's been a lot of maturity. In the OHL, Michael McNiven was a very aggressive goaltender. Some called him cocky at times, and he backed it up. He was best goaltender in the OHL last year. But the AHL is a bit of a different game, and I think there's been some recognition. You see him working very hard in practice with Marco Marciano. You see him; he mentioned about nutrition and those kinds of things that are important at this level. There's there's a lot of good players, and it takes more than talent alone, and it. You have to rely on your teammates as well, but recognized, I think, that there's a lot of components to being a successful goaltender, and he's working very hard to make sure that they're part of his preparation.
Absolutely. You know, it wasn't all doom and gloom for the weekend. There were some really big high notes and there were some notable things. Kirby Reichel and Rinat Valiev were the two new trades from Toronto when Plekanec and Kyle Vaughn were traded away at the deadline. Valiev played in Laval on Friday night and then immediately, of course, got called up to Montreal. So didn't get to see him too long. He did manage to score an assist or to get an assist on Kirby Reichel's first goal with the Laval Rocket on Friday night. But Reichel went 1-2 Friday night and then Saturday night, first two games with the team, scored a goal in both games. So making an immediate impact. He's currently playing on the first line with a couple of veteran players in Chris Terry and Adam Cracknell. Just when we asked him how the adjustment has been going for him, he'd only been with the team for less than a week, and here's what he had to say.
It's great. There's a lot of good guys in there, and the staff's great, and the organization treats the players really well. So it's been a smooth transition, and I'm having a lot of fun.
He's having a lot of fun, and he is a quick interview. He's very to the point with all of his answers, but seemed to be already enjoying things. I think some of the veteran players and he know each other. I would imagine I believe Dave Brohl and he know each other from Brohl's time and common common friendships, mutual friends and whatnot through the Toronto Marlies and so forth. So he seems to be having fun. And Rick, I thought he looked pretty good in these first three games with the Rocket.
Well, as you said, he scored Friday night. His contributions on Saturday, his goal was the tying goal. Less than 5 minutes left. He scored to tie it. And then on the ice with Gregoire and Corin for the 3-on-3 in overtime, it was Reichel and Corin that assisted on Gregoire's winning goals. So, we remember Adam Cracknell, his first game with the team at the PPL Center against the Phantoms, and he scored in overtime.
That's right.
And instantly became part of the team. And you got to think that after a weekend like that, it helps your introduction to a brand new team in a brand new situation.
Sure thing. Absolutely. Made sure, of course, to ask Coach Sylvain Lefebvre what he thought of his newest addition on the first line. And this was his reaction on Saturday night after the game in Syracuse on what he has seen from Kirby Reichel so far.
Well, I think that a change of scenery sometimes, is good for a player. Reichs was really happy to come to our team, and obviously, maybe a chance to get called up. I mean, he's got two goals now with us, he fits well with Cracknell and Terry right now. He brings some little bit of grit and on the forecheck, being hard to play against, and obviously we all know that he's got a knack around the net. He can score goals, and on the power play, he's in front of the net, he can make plays in front there, and he's good at tipping pucks. So it's a good addition for us, and he's fitting with his teammates right now, and
So Coach Lefebvre seems to be pretty pleased with the Canadiens' new acquisition so far, and it seems to be working out okay.
Absolutely. And then we have Willie Corin, who actually joined
a great story
the,
this weekend.
Well, he joined the team in December as a call up from the Brampton Beast, and was up for multiple weeks and practiced with the team, but didn't get into the lineup. We met David Brohl, who you mentioned, introduced us. They were roommates and they were both out of the lineup at the time, and they were kind of commiserating with each other in December.
Yeah.
And so then in January, Corin went back to Brampton and he signed a PTO with Belleville, with the Belleville Senators. Belleville has been using Brampton as an affiliate and signing players.
Mm-hmm.
So he got into a game for Belleville, and they were on the road in Rochester and on February the 7th. And Corin was pushed into the boards by Nick Baptiste, the Rochester. And just there was nothing really dirty about it, but just the awkwardness. He crashed into the boards and had no feeling in his extremities and had to be taken, stretchered off in a neck brace and taken to Strong Memorial Hospital. And that's how he left that game. The good news is that he was okay and he got the feeling back. But that kind of finished his that particular call up. A month goes by and he gets called up with the Rocket and finds himself right back in beautiful downtown Rochester.
That's right.
And his finish for that, the end to that game was much different. Like I say, hockey is just an amazing sport. Willie Corin got his first AHL goal of his career at the end of the first period, less than a minute left in the first period, and just the excitement on his face and the way he pointed immediately at get that puck.
That's right.
And he also assisted on the opening goal by Adam Cracknell in the game. So a goal and an assist, unfortunately in a losing effort, but still named third star. So, you know, a month previous, he goes out on a stretcher and over the weekend, he in Rochester is named third star of the game. It's just an amazing, amazing story.
Absolutely. I agree. And we talked to Willie after the game. He was very excited about that goal. And probably, you know, when players that we interview have had a goal in the game, we usually ask them to describe or walk us through the goal, how it developed, things of that nature. I have to say, I think that this description of someone's goal is probably the most enthusiastic and detailed that I have ever received as a reporter. Here's what Willie Corin had to say about his first AHL goal.
Yeah, you know, Tommy, like I can keep giving praise to Tommy. He's a great partner to have out there. He's confident. He helps me in every single way. And he just makes another great play himself. He runs up the ice and puts the brakes on, and everyone just kind of keeps going. And I was lucky enough to be wide open for a one-timer, and I just kind of yelled, Tommy, Tommy, and he looked right at me, and I just saw a guy coming out, wanted to get by him, and it hit something on the ice, or it bounced, or did something, and you know, the first one's always memorable, and I jumped up like a little kid and was excited.
This is probably the best goal description quote I've ever heard. You can hear just breaking it down into, and I called out Tommy Parisi's name, Tommy, Tommy, or, you know, it's, you know, and we spoke last week, I believe it was last week in a recent episode about how, you know, Tom Parisi is a fantastic player and a great passer, as you say, all the time. And there he is again in a clutch moment, finds Willie Corin open and gets his first AHL goal. So congratulations to Willie Corin. Very happy to see him smiling from ear to ear. You did take a moment though, Rick, at the end of our interview to ask him about the injury the last time he was in that building a month ago and his recovery and just being back in that building again and having such a different experience this time. And this is what he had to say on that reflection.
I was very thankful. You know, being taken on a stretcher is not very fun. I was pretty scared at first because I didn't have any feeling in my legs or my arms. And then it started coming back with a little acupuncture and stuff like that. So I'm thankful every day to be still standing and still playing the game I love. To get an opportunity to come back, I'm pretty good friends with Adam Krause on the other team, and I kind of texted him jokingly before the game. Hopefully it ends a little bit different than last time. But like I said, I'm just thankful to be here and play the game I love.
What a story.
A great story. A great hockey story. A great guy. And, you know, someone who just loves what he does and works very hard at it and very patient waiting for his chance and gets his first goal after the month before, not knowing if he would ever play again. It's an amazing story.
It is. And Coach Lefebvre has mentioned to us quite often over the last few weeks, especially with so many injuries and call-ups kind of plaguing the regular roster, that there's been a lot of guys getting promoted onto top six lines who normally don't play there or called up from Brampton and whatnot. And Coach always hounds that, you know, while yes, it's challenging when there's call-ups and injuries, and we're happy for those players who are called up to play in Montreal, the key is that it gives other players an opportunity to step up and make an impact and make a name for themselves. And that's exactly what guys like Willie Caron are taking advantage of the opportunity to do. And so we're always happy to see that happen. And who knows, we might see some more from Willie Caron this week.
And once again, Tom Parisi factors into all of this. You know, he's very underrated, and you heard Willie Caron praising him, and we've heard that throughout the season with Noah Juulsen praising Tom Parisi, with Yarabik praising Tom Parisi.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a very good season, as I said, best passer in the team, but just a very smart hockey player. Very smart.
Absolutely. Speaking of roster updates, of course, you know, things are constantly moving with the Laval Rocket. As I mentioned, Renat Valiev only lasted for one game with the Rocket before being called up to Montreal. Now, Antti Niemi took a therapy day on the road yesterday and is not scheduled to play in New Jersey tonight. So as such, they needed to recall another goaltender to back up Charlie Lindgren in the NHL tonight. I like the sound of that, to back up Charlie Lindgren in the NHL tonight. And so they have recalled Zach Fucale to back Charlie up tonight. So that left just Michael McNiven in Laval, and they have a game tomorrow night. So they've signed Andrew D'Agostini from the Brampton Beast to a PTO. He'll be backing up McNiven likely tomorrow night. I do believe they signed a PTO for a defenseman as well, Etienne Boutte, from the ECHL, I believe. He's from the Wichita Thunder. And both Jackson Leaf and Tyson Wilson were both released from their PTOs over the weekend. As you mentioned, they filled a roster spot and did the best they could. Didn't have the best games, but they did. They did what they could while they were there.
I noticed that someone on social media had asked us about, well, what about Matt Petgrave? And because Matt Petgrave was up in January and actually very well from Brampton. And we know that the Rocket like him, but over the weekend he signed a PTO with Belleville and he had a couple games there, as far as I know.
Excellent. Well, glad to see guys are getting the work, even if it's not with Laval. On the injury front, Jeremiah Addison continues making strides. He has been skating with a no contact jersey. We'll wait to see as far as this week goes, if he still is in a no contact jersey. But it's looking like he's getting close to getting perhaps his first start of the season here, before things wrap up in mid-April. Matt Tarmina is still out with injury. He looks to be another week or two out before he's back. And Yannick Veilla, not back in the lineup yet. You heard Sylvain Lefebvre when talking about how tired, especially his top six guys, were looking over the weekend. You heard him mention that on Friday night they played two periods with just 10 forwards. And that's because in the first period, they lost Daniel Audet and David Brohl to injury in the first period, and they, in fact, did not make the trip with the team this weekend. So they are out as well, day-to-day, I believe. So they're dropping like flies, Rick. They're dropping like flies, but hopefully Veilla is going to be back in the lineup soon and you know, fingers crossed that perhaps Tarmina can be just a week out instead of a week to 2 weeks. So we'll be sure to keep everyone posted.
Nice to get a look at Addison as well. And if you've liked the play of Jordan Boucher this season, you're going to love Jeremiah Addison, who has the speed and hands of Boucher, but also has a lot of added grit and kind of a Brendan Gallagher kind of temperament in front of the net.
He plays with a bit of an edge.
Yeah, he indeed does, and it'll be nice to see him get a few games in before the end of the season.
That would be fantastic. The Rocket, as I mentioned, do have a 3-game homestand this week, so they will be playing tomorrow night, Wednesday night, where they will be hosting. Actually, I'm so sorry, it just completely left my head. They will be hosting the Providence Bruins tomorrow night.
And then Belleville.
Belleville Friday and Saturday back-to-back. So we will be sure, of course, to have full coverage of all three of those games. Be sure to keep your eye on the AHL report. And, of course, it means with 2 games against Belleville this weekend, Joseph Whalen and myself will be doing dual coverage of both of those games. So you can follow me for the Laval Rocket angle, and you can follow Joseph Whalen on Twitter at Joe Whalen 19 for the Belleville Senators angle, and we'll each have individual game reports and recaps out depending on who you or your friends root for. So should be a good weekend of hockey. Moving over to some AHL news, we have, of course, the player of the week, the CCM AHL player of the week, is another goaltender this week. It's the Rockford IceHogs goaltender, Colin Delia. He had his, speaking of firsts, we had Willie Karn with his first AHL goal this weekend. And this was Colin's first shutout of his professional career, his first pro shutout. He played in 2 starts last week. And not only had a shutout, but in the other game only gave up 1 goal. He turned aside 72 out of 73 shots in both of those games combined, posting a 0.50 goals against average and a 986 save percentage. So that's a pretty successful week, if I must say. So congratulations to him. And then, of course, the month of February has now passed us, so the American Hockey League has announced their award winners for the month of February. Their CCM AHL Player of the Month is a young athlete that we've spoken about, whether it's at the All-Star Game or against the Marlies, and that is Andreas Janssen, Toronto Marlies forward Andreas Janssen, as the CCM AHL Player of the Month, who had 3 goals and 16 assists for a league-leading 19 points in 11 games during the month of February. So a very productive month for Mr. Janssen. The CCM AHL Rookie of the Month is from the Charlotte Checkers, and that is forward Jani Kukkonen. He had 3 goals and 9 assists for 12 points in 13 games for Charlotte in February. And then last but not least, the goaltender of the month is Grand Rapids Griffins goaltender Jared Corot. And it looks like he was 4-0-2 in 6 starts, allowing just 9 goals on 185 shots, which so that gives him a 1.46 goals against average and a 951 save percentage, along with 2 shutouts in the mix. And he did so well that he earned himself a call up to the Detroit Red Wings. So, pretty impressive grouping of young athletes there for the award winners for the AHL in February. Of course, you take the good with the bad. There were some suspensions this week. Lehigh Valley Phantoms forward Nicholas Aubé-Coubel was suspended for 2 games for an illegal check to the head of an opponent. And so it looks like he will miss. He's already missed 1 game on March 4th, and he'll also miss Friday's game versus Bridgeport. And then Milwaukee Admirals forward Harry Zolnarchuk has been suspended for a game because of a kicking incident, with skates on, that would not be pretty in the least.
But for Obe Kubel, suspensions are just like badge of honor for Flyers organization. Isn't that true? Isn't there like team bonuses and stuff for that?
I don't know that it's team bonuses, but and I don't know that any Flyers fan actually wants to see suspensions, but beat the snot out of anybody and we'll be fine with that. Illegal checks right. to the head, we don't condone those as much okay. as Radko Gudas would probably think that we do. You know, we don't condone those. A good scrap, give us a good scrap or give us a really, really hard check into the boards any day of the week. Yeah, maybe a slew foot here and there, you know. Cross check or two, you know.
Or running a goalie. Yeah.
No, I can't. Sorry. This Philly fan cannot condone running goaltenders. I yell very much anytime there's any contact with a goaltender, even if it's incidental. So I guess that brings us to our favorite Rick Stevens segment of Where Are They Now, otherwise known as Journeys with Rick. And where are you taking us today, and who are you highlighting for us today?
Well, I'm taking you, first of all, to answer that question, to the furthest eastern point you can go in North America.
St. John's, Newfoundland?
You intrigued already?
I am.
Now, you know, I've featured, for the most part, I've featured some kind of obscure kind of players, or players you might have forgotten about, or names you say, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that guy. But this week is different. We're going to talk about Steve Schutt. We're going to talk about Stéphane Richer. We're going to talk about Patrice Brisebois. We're going to talk about Chris Nyland.
My goodness.
All in the same journey, mind you.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because coming up on St. Patrick's Day, there is an alumni game featuring the players I've mentioned and probably several others of the Canadiens alumni.
Okay.
Who are traveling to a community called Tilting. And Tilting, yes, believe it or not, Tilting is on the list of National Historic Sites of Canada.
Nice.
And it's a community of 250 people, not even.
Alrighty.
If everybody's home, if everybody's yeah. off the cod right. boats, there's 250 people in town. And it's known for fishing and it's known for its unique culture and dialect, especially very difficult to understand.
Sure.
And it's known as the most place in North America.
Okay.
So it's very fitting that on St. Patrick's Day, the Montreal Canadiens alumni will play a game in the Iceberg Arena, which seats 500 people. There'll be 500 tickets available for this game.
Okay.
And a little bit of standing room. And the community of Tilting happens to be on Fogo Island. Fogo Island is in the northeast corner of Newfoundland. If you haven't heard of Fogo Island, I don't blame you. I hadn't either. Until my buddy, one of the staff from the St. John's Ice Caps that became friends with, he started telling me about this fascinating place called Fogo Island. Remote, you know, not much there, but a jumping off point for some of the best cod fishing lands. And it's also the place where people who like to see icebergs. It's the iceberg viewing spot in this spot called Fogo Island. And so you have this tiny iceberg arena, seats 500, that where the hockey game will be. And strangely, right on the edge of Fogo Island, you have this high-end luxury hotel called the Fogo Island Inn. And basically it's a kind of modern futuristic box with glass on stilts looking out to the ocean.
Alrighty.
Which is odd, on rock, just on rock. I sent you a picture of it just to give you an idea.
I'm pulling it up.
You know, our listeners can look at this thing. It's just so remote, so desolate, so eerie almost, but it's extremely exclusive. There's 29 rooms in the Fogo Island Inn. They go for around $2,000 a night, between $2,000 and $3,500, depending on your amenity package.
Right.
And in the last year, we've had Jason Momoa. Jason was in Cal Drogo. He went up. Gwyneth Paltrow went up there. David Letterman's been there. Justin Trudeau. Trudeau's not really a celebrity, but yes, going to get away from it all to experience nature, to be next to the icebergs, to maybe to go on a cod fishing boat to get that experience. And it's listed as one of, in Fodor's guide to the world's best hotels, is one of the hotels is the Fogo Island Inn.
Alrighty.
So this is all kind of tied together, and just wanted to mention this event that I'm sure with Chris Nyland, with guys like Chris Nyland and Steve Schutt, they're going to have a great time, and to play against a team from a community team, which will be a great thrill for them, I'm sure, to play the Canadiens alumni. Just a great event for the island and a great St. Patrick's Day celebration.
That sounds pretty fun.
It sounds tremendous. For that's my where are they now, or where are they going to be, I guess.
Where will they be?
Yes.
Well, I like that very much. And they should have some, take in some scenery while you're there. The one regret I must say that I have for the 2 years that the Ice Caps were in St. John's, the one regret that I have is that of all of the road travel for covering games that we do, unfortunately, I was not able to make it to a home game in St. John's to visit Newfoundland and see their beautiful city and island. So should be quite an experience out there.
Sounds like a great time. As the former staff with the Ice Cap said, they may never want to leave. And that might be the case.
That might be the case. That's true. Well, I guess that brings us, Rick. And of course, before we move on, I should remind people, if you have a story or a player that you'd like Rick to do some research and find out where are they now, don't hesitate to drop us a line and give us some suggestions on some players that you would like to kind of get an update on, whether they're still playing or they're coaching or they've moved on to other business opportunities after retiring from hockey. Rick is able to find some really interesting stories. I know he keeps threatening that maybe he'll turn this into an actual column series someday on one of Rocket Sports Media's websites. And I think that a lot of our readers would also enjoy these stories as well. But be sure to drop us a line either on Twitter at the AHL Report or on Facebook or even an email via the contact form on the website if you have a suggestion for someone that you'd like to find out where are they now. And with that brings us to yes, that's right. It is time for top five. Rick, this is yet again, I handed the category topic selecting reins over to Mr. Stevens for this week because after driving all over God's creation and up in central New York. My brain was fried and I said, I need a topic. And he came up with another good one. Top five arena songs. My life is like, my life is a soundtrack. I love music. I love all kinds of music. So this is a great category, Rick.
We hear all kinds of music. We're at a lot of games, a lot of different arenas. There's some pretty good DJs in the arena.
Yeah.
There's the in-game music. There's the warm-up music. There's the goal music. And it's, you know, if you have any doubt of how much time and effort is put into music at an NHL game or an AHL game, if you go to the Los Angeles Kings website, go to the Ottawa Senators or the New York Rangers, and they have
the Nashville Predators,
their in-game playlists. And some of them, particularly Ottawa and New York, they have by game what songs were played in the warm-up, what songs were played for each of the goals, for the penalty kills,
goals against.
And it changes by, you know, the Kings have a playlist where you can listen to samples of songs. The others have, you know, specific songs that were played at specific times, and they change from game to game. It's a big deal, and it's a big part of creating the atmosphere, the excitement, and some of the particularly for the warm up, the pump up kind of energy in the building.
Yeah. It's a big part of any live sporting event. Music plays a big part of it, particularly in a hockey arena. I guess you could also throw basketball in there as well when it's, you know, a very enclosed space where it gets very loud, and you're really getting the fans into it. And of course, you know, certain songs, you've got the dance cam or the kiss cam or the bongo cam or whatever cam you got going on. Then you really get the crowd into it. But music plays such a big role. You know, you constantly see guys, as you say, there's also all the warm-up music. You know, it's always entertaining to see which guys are kind of bobbing the head up and down to certain songs. You know, you can see musical tastes differ between certain guys on certain teams, depending on what music they're really getting into during warm-ups and things like that. So it's pretty fun. So let's get started, and keep in mind, we want to hear your top five arena songs. This is one I really would love to get some input from our listeners. So be sure to tweet us at the AHL Report with your top five arena songs. Really, really interested to see what kind of music and what songs really, you know, capture your attention when you're at a hockey game. But I would imagine before we start, Rick, you probably have rules and regulations.
I have a few exclusions. I have a couple of honorable mentions. That shouldn't be a surprise to you.
No.
From my list.
Okay.
My exclusions, I'll just go through my exclusions. Do you have honorable mentions or anything as well?
I don't want to call them exclusions, but for lack of a better word, I'll call them exclusions. But I do have one honorable mention, yes.
All right. Well, as far as the exclusions from my list, I've excluded, we love the anthems. We love some anthem singers better than others. But I've excluded all anthems.
Yeah, because that's like, not really an arena song to me.
It's part of the deal. But it's off limits.
But it's not.
For this particular list.
Yeah.
Sadly, I've also excluded any novelty songs just because I didn't have room for them. So anything that's a novelty song, the hockey song, Stompin' Tom Connors. Sadly,
okay.
Cotton Eye Joe is not on my list. Pete Mahovich, love Pete Mahovich when he dances to it. The Hockey Night in Canada song that sometimes played, great song. It's not going to be on the list. My other exclusions are just kind of personal.
Okay.
The Chelsea Dagger song, can't stand it. It's not on the list. Anything by the Dropkick Murphys, just I think of the Bruins and off the list. Anything by Imagine Dragons, and it seems that it's played a lot in arenas. Flo Rida, you won't find on my list. And you're not going to find that stupid Cake by the Ocean song on my list. So, honestly, that just annoys the daylights out of me.
I think
yes,
we're going to have
my...
some generational differences in our lists.
Well, one of the reasons for picking this particular list is I didn't think there would be very much overlap.
I doubt it.
Yeah,
my own personal disclaimer, that doesn't mean that I don't like maybe music that you're going to pick. It's just that for an arena song, it's not what I really love to listen to in a loud arena. But my musical tastes span, I have quite a range. Quite a range for the musical taste. But yes, I don't think we're going to have a lot of overlap.
So, I have honorable mentions, but do you want to do your exclusions or?
Yeah, kind of like the way you said it was good that you had a couple of personal exclusions. Chelsea Dagger is also on my list. That song can just die in a tire fire, especially after the Flyers lost to Chicago in the Stanley Cup final back in 2010. I can't stand that song. I hate it so much. And sorry, Habs fans, but there will be no ole, ole, ole. There will not be any ole, ole. The only time I like to hear that song is when the Habs are playing in Philadelphia and the Flyers fans mockingly sing that to the Habs players on the ice. It's the only time I enjoy hearing ole, ole, ole. I'm so sorry, but it just annoys me because
honestly, it's a soccer song, and many fans don't like, and many Habs fans don't like it either.
It is, yes, to me, it is a soccer. It's for soccer as well, and it's just also, you know, you'll be 6 minutes into the first period, and maybe the Habs have scored two goals, and the crowd will start doing the ole chant. I'm like, okay, it's a little early. Overkill. So those are my two personal exclusions. But
all
you
right.
Say, I'll let you do your honorable mentions.
Well, honorable mentions, I wasn't going to put them on my list because they're a little bit dated now. But I thought we should pay homage to kind of the songs that got us started that were the staples for years and years and years of arena songs.
About,
you know, the Rock and Roll Part Two, Gary Glitter, the people know as the Hay song, or Steam and their song, Na Na Na, Hey Hey, Kiss Them Goodbye. And they still do that as the, when the Canadians are winning and whatnot, they still sing that. But those, I thought we should at least pay homage to those songs because they kicked it off as far as arena songs go. And I just wanted, I sadly didn't have any room for Rush. I didn't have any room for Stevie Ray Vaughan. I didn't have any room for Gary Clark Jr. And I'm sad about that. So I just want to give them an honorable mention because I really would have liked to include stuck by any of the three of them.
Well, I can understand that. Not including Rush. That's very un-Canadian of you.
What's that?
That not including Rush is
yeah.
Very un-Canadian of you.
I forget which arena that was that they played 2112, and it sounded fantastic in the arena on a good sound system. So it should be somewhere on here. But.
All righty. I have one honorable mention, just one.
All right.
And we're gonna play little excerpts. You know, you can't play full songs. We're gonna play little excerpts of some of our picks. And my honorable mention is actually gonna get a bit of a play. Actually, that's not it.
but you move so carefully. Let's start living dangerously.
Stop it. Stop it. Nobody likes that song. Oh, gosh.
Yes, it is true, folks. Sitting in the press, it's just, it worked out perfectly that this was your personal exclusion, because every time, okay, first of all, I happen to love the song Cake by the Ocean, and I sing it quite loudly and quite enthusiastically every time in the press box when it comes on. And Rick is just sitting next to me in the press box with his head in his hands going, God, turn this song off. So
they torment me with it.
Such a great song. It's just fun. Fun. Aha. And it just worked out so nicely that that was your personal exclusion. Oh, love it. All right, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Some top five things we got going on here. So what comes in at your number five?
Well, I've kind of put, because there were so many songs coming to mind, I kind of put, rather than list individual songs as five to one, I broke them into categories. So my number five category is songs that everybody's heard, but they don't know by name.
Okay.
So in that grouping, Sandstorm, everybody's heard Sandstorm. They heard Kerncraft 400, Zombie Nation. Everybody's heard that. Levels, Avicii, The Launch, DJ Jean. Everybody's heard those songs at an arena. You just, if I ask you what's the name of that song, you'd have no idea, but you've heard it before.
Should we play a little bit so people know which ones you're talking about?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so what was one of them you had there?
Sandstorm.
Okay, so yeah, everybody knows.
Everybody's heard it.
Everybody knows. What's another one?
The Launch. Do you have that one?
I don't have that one.
Level.
Kerncraft Levels.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, either one.
Okay. So again,
played at every arena.
Played at every arena. I think you had Kerncraft 400 in there.
Yep.
Which I will tell you, as a raver from way back when techno used to be called techno and not EDM, this is like party anthem of the early 2000s for sure. But how many people know it's called Kerncraft 400?
Or by Zombie Nation, yeah.
By Zombie Nation. Anything else you had on that list?
Yeah, no, that's you get the idea where I'm going
right.
With that. They're all in an arena environment. They all sound good. You've heard them everywhere, and you just don't know what they are.
That's true. Okay, so that category of Rick's, I'm going to guess, is probably the only thing that's going to sound anything like the rest my entire list. Because for me, in an arena, give me anything that's like really, really hard-hitting hip-hop, dubstep, EDM, and I'm all about that. Doesn't have to be modern. Could be old-school stuff, too, like Kerncraft 400 and Sandstorm and things like that. So I have to say that one of my favorite throwback, I'm going to get the throwback jams going on here. My number five is a good old throwback jam by DJ Kool that especially I always notice in when we are in Utica. Utica has dancers in the stands for every stoppage in play, the Comets, and they all seem to love to dance to to this song when it comes on, and it's just one of those fun ones that I love to hear in an arena by DJ Kool. Let me clear my throat. You can't tell me that's not fun.
That was great.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And the dancers are very good.
They are very good. They are very good. They are not cheerleaders. They have pom-poms, but they are not cheerleaders. They are, take it from someone who studied dance, they are trained like dance team dancers. Like if you've ever seen a good dance team at halftime at an NBA game or a college hoops game, these girls are right up there with them. They're very good. So that's my number five. I'm sure Rick is just cringing on his side of the microphone over there. But that was my number five. Let Me Clear My Throat by DJ Cool.
My number four category, mm-hmm. I wanted to pay tribute to, as I said, music is a big part of games, live games that you go to. But for those people who don't get to a game, they may be familiar with some of the in-game music, but it's played on a video game. They've heard it on one of their video games. And the video games are often a source for the in-game entertainment people, the DJs, the EA Sports, NHL, whatever.
Right.
Has been very popular. There's been a lot of popular music come out of that. And for me, and this goes back a while to NHL 2000, I think the best song ever put on an EA Sports game was Push It by Garbage. And it's again, instantly recognizable, and it's played in a lot of the arenas.
I don't think that's the right. I don't think I have the right song for you.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Was it?
That's it.
Very good song. That is a good one. All right, well, you're actually two for two because I like that song too. So I don't know that it would make my top five, but it's a good one. It is a good one. Well, I have to wonder if you'll be dancing in your chair to my next one, which is number four. And this is kind of going along with my grouping of the cat, just anything, especially hip-hop. I love hip-hop and warm-ups. I love hip-hop and warm-ups. It kind of gets you really going, gets you grooving, that kind of thing. But this is the exact opposite of warm-ups. It's my favorite. This is replaced, a number of older songs as the go-to song for when someone wins. And that is a song featuring T-Pain, Ludacris, Snoop Dogg, and Rick Ross, which I'm sure all of them are on Rick's playlist every single day. It's DJ Khaled, All I Do Is Win. All I do is win, no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there. That's one of your favorites, right?
Well, it's funny because that song is played on the Habs 360 podcast. If the Canadians win every game in a week, if they win every game that week, the podcast opens with that song. That's been the tradition.
And that is why Chris G is my friend.
Yeah, so I do like to hear that song because it means a good week for the Canadians.
Can we mark this down, listeners, in AHL report from the press box history that Rick Stevens has admitted that there is a hip-hop song that he enjoys hearing? Because it's probably the only time that it will happen.
In a certain context, yes.
In a certain context, yes. All right, what's your number three?
Well, I took a look at what was on the Los Angeles Kings playlist, and their playlist is long. And I thought it was interesting that several songs on their list, they're also a favorite of the Rocket Sports team. I have it on good authority that these three songs are the favorite songs of the Rocket Sports team. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And so it matches up with the LA Kings list. And the three songs that I pulled out from the Kings are Hard to Handle, Black Crowes, Fire Woman from The Cult, and Rock the Casbah by The Clash.
Those are pretty good. Those are pretty good.
You don't like those? They're just pretty good?
I do like those. Let me see if I can get one of them at least.
Rock.
A little Rock the Casbah there.
Mm-hmm.
It's always pretty good. I can't. So the Kings, that was on the Kings list?
The LA Kings list had Rock the Casbah and Fire Woman and Hard to Handle, I think. Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like all three of those songs.
Good.
I like all three of those songs.
So I'm giving a shout out to the Rocket Sports team and their likes and preferences and those are the songs that we'd expect most of the team would agree on.
I would think so. Well, and as a matter of fact, I mean, for Rock the Casbah, the Rocket Sports team has a hashtag that we use occasionally on that hashtag all habs rocks the Casbah.
Exactly.
So there is a reason for that. There is a reason.
Song, yeah.
That's yeah. Right. My number three is kind of a tie. One of them is a song. One of them is something that's played in the stands to just get people up and moving and dancing and that kind of thing. The other is a song. I love to pay attention to, after warmups are done, but before the teams officially come out to take the ice, most arenas will then play kind of a team hype video on the Jumbotron of, you know, a really hard hitting, energetic video montage of the team and goals and fights and things like that. And I always pay attention to what music they put with those. Again, I'm going to come back to Utica here from last year. And I think there were a lot of teams that used this song. Unfortunately, it's a group that was on Rick's personal exclusion list. So I'm so sorry that I yet again have to pull in some Imagine Dragons for you. but I actually really, and yes, there are plenty of teams that overused this, but when you use this song for kind of a motivational, inspirational, hey, our team is awesome kind of video, it works really well. And that's Warriors by Imagine Dragons. So it's not, you know, it's not the fluffy Imagine Dragon stuff. It's not, it's Warriors. It's inspirational.
Yeah, I guess.
You have a comment just, before I move on?
with a lot of these songs, you know, you can hear them 10,000 times and some of them, okay, that particular song for me, we've heard it a lot and it just doesn't wear well.
So sorry. I happen to like it. But on the flip side of that, I just really love a good tune that just gets people moving in their seats. The Lehigh Valley Phantoms like to play anything by Timmy Trumpet, whether it's, hopefully Rick isn't sitting there going, who in the heck is Timmy Trumpet? Whether it's Party Till We Die or more popularly, Freaks, which is, and if you've been to a Lehigh Valley Phantoms game, they have what they call an energy team that is sprinkled all throughout the stands throughout the entire game, and they're just wild and crazy, and they dance and they get people up to dance and things like that, and they have a blast whenever the DJ plays Freaks, and so it's one of my favorites as well.
good thing that we're not doing this like Facebook Live, because the amount of dancing that I've got going on in my chair here in front of the microphone would be entirely not embarrassing whatsoever for our listeners. But yes, that's Freaks by Timmy Trumpet. That was my tie for number three.
So why don't you go for number two while you're at it?
Why don't I go for number two? All right, I got two examples. I'm pulling on your cue for categories.
All right.
Being a Philly fan, we just talked about this. I love a good hockey fight, and I love nothing more than a good either give me some just most of the time like metal. Give me like just some ragey kind of metal while two guys are throwing down. In particular, either, you know, Fight for the Right by Beastie Boys, Fight for the Right to Party. But even better than that is when someone plays one of my absolute favorites, by Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name. It's just one of those songs. It gets nasty, it gets gritty, it makes guys want to punch each other in the face even harder. And I mean, who doesn't want that when you're watching a good hockey fight? So number two for me is just good songs for good solid hockey chuck and knucks.
All right. number two selection will be just known as the AC/DC category. You could almost play anything, but the ones that we hear most often, Hell's Bells, Thunderstruck, for sure in every arena, and at certain times where, particularly Hell's Bells, TNT is played off, Back in Black. So the AC/DC category always sounds good over arena speakers and is always very good situational kind of songs, either at the start of the game or when the team needs a little bit of a jump start.
Absolutely. That's actually a good one, like to start like the third period, you know, coming out for that opening face off to start the third period. That really kind of gets people going.
Yep. Yeah. Like Hell's Bells is like that too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that actually is kind of the perfect segue into my number one.
All right.
Because my number one is a song that is played coming out of second intermission as teams are taking the ice to start the third period. And played very specifically in Philadelphia. Every time the third period is about to start. And there is no denying that the entire Wells Fargo Center goes absolutely crazy when Rocky Balboa is in the building. There is just no doubt. There is nothing, especially if it's a tight game, especially if it's the playoffs. The roof just blows off the place as soon as you play Gonna Fly Now, which is the theme from Rocky. It is in the blood of Philadelphians, and for me, no hockey game is complete without hearing. And unfortunately, I usually only hear it when I go to the Wells Fargo Center. But that is my number one top arena song.
So you have a Bill Conti song on your...
I do. Look at that. It wasn't hip hop. It wasn't techno. It wasn't anything modern. So all of you who are sitting at home going,
Oh, God, she listens to the worst music because it's not good old, like, see, I redeemed myself.
No, and that was entirely expected, and I would have been disappointed had you not had it on your list.
Entirely expected. Well, I don't like to be that predictable.
So for me, number one, and you said a good hockey song, a good classic rock song, and again, in those arenas where the sound system is good, it's nothing better than. And I had to think, you know, what song is that? You mentioned Rage earlier. Gorilla Radio went through my head. You know, that was under consideration. Welcome to the Jungle, Guns N' Roses.
Oh yeah.
Kickstart My Heart, Motley Crue.
Yeah.
That's very good in an arena situation. But I get the same kind of feeling, that same kind of chills every time they play Enter Sandman by Metallica. And
oh yeah.
For me, that's the go-to arena song, and on my list takes the number one spot. Best arena song, Enter Sandman by Metallica.
Also got the longest introduction ever.
Well, that's true.
Well, it does.
Well, I would have to agree with you. I'd have to agree with you there. I love me some Metallica, and that blasting at mega arena levels is quite good.
It is, and yeah, enjoy it every time it's on. And one of those songs that I never get tired of hearing.
Well, that's good. This was a pretty diverse list.
It was. I don't think there was any overlap. Well, maybe a little bit, but.
Well, we had some overlap with Cake by the Ocean, since it's both of our favorites.
I never.
Should
I
play
never
that again?
Hear that song again. If I never hear it again, it'll be too soon.
Really? Oh my goodness. Well, we want to hear what your top five arena songs are. We would love to know what are the songs that just really get you into a hockey game, or that you just don't feel a hockey game is complete without hearing. So be sure to send us
Cake by the Ocean songs that you don't want to hear.
that you don't ever want to hear again. So be sure to drop us a note at the AHL Report on Twitter. Let us know what your top five are. What's your favorite arena song? We want to hear about it. Of course, you can find Rick on Twitter at All Habs. You can find me on Twitter at Flyers Rule. Be sure to tune in, of course, to all of our other podcasts here at Rocket Sports Radio. That includes Habs Unfiltered, Have a Listen, and of course, Habs 360 on Saturdays live at 2 p.m. You can call in, join the conversation with Chris G and Rick, who are the co-hosts of that program. We, of course, will be back here again next Tuesday after a packed Laval Rocket homestand weekend with lots of great info about your favorite teams and the AHL and another top five. What will we come up with next? Thanks so much for joining us. Rick, thanks for being here. It was another great show.
We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Till then, have a great week, and we will see you right back here next week.
You should be rolling me. You should be rolling me. You were in life fantasy. You were in life fantasy. But you're moving so carefully. Let's start living dangerously.